Good morning. We are excited to be here with you. This is Old Lion, Young Lion, and my name is Anthony Stafford. I'm here with Elder Sam Hazelton, one of the Lord's mighty servants, and I'm excited for today's episode, as should you be. Now, you may ask why our show is called Old Lion, Young Lion, and that, my friend, is a great question. We have based this show on a passage of scripture that clearly states that the righteous are bold as lions. And we're calling out to all other lions out there that it's time to rise up and roar the scriptures from the Word of God. And that's what we're doing on our show today. And we are excited about it. Sam and I are pastors at a local church in Schenectady, New York. And we have gatherings every Sunday morning at 10:30. If you're hearing this show on a Sunday morning on the local radio station, then we are telling you that this is your alarm clock to get to church. The preacher has not started preaching yet, and you need to get there and hear the word of God proclaimed. And we're excited about where our show is going, and we want you to keep coming with us on this journey that we are on. Now, before we get into all of today's content, I need to shout out our show's sponsor today. It looks like it's from a young man named that's where it is. It's Jeremiah Roberts. It states here that he is a recent newlywed in the town of Alplaus, and he writes, "I want to thank God for my wife, my new wife. I will love her forever and ever." Okay, Jeremiah, that's great. We want to shout you out, and thanks for sponsoring today's show. Also, we want you to know that we are now on all mediums that put out podcasts. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on all the podcast sites that we're streaming on now. Our show is called Old Lion, Young Lion. Primarily, you will find us on YouTube at our Old Lion, Young Lion page, as well as on WPTR, the radio station, every Sunday morning here in Schenectady. You can also email us to get in touch with our show or reach out to Sam and I. Send us your prayer requests or Bible questions at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. Now, before we get into today's show, we have a tradition here. We like to keep some good, healthy, biblical traditions. And we start every show with a word of prayer. And I want to ask Elder Sam here, Old Lion, would you mind kicking off our show with a word of prayer?
Here we go. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. We've been studying that over the past few weeks and unpacking the marvelous wonders that you've placed into your Word. Lord, today we're going to kind of switch gears and get into some questions that are on people's hearts and try to answer those from the Word of God. We pray for grace as we answer these questions. We pray for enlightenment and understanding as we expound your word. And we pray for truth. We pray that everyone who's listening to us would be drawn closer to the Savior. And we ask that you would draw people to yourself through this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a prayer over all those that are listening today, that you be blessed, and that we don't know exactly what you're walking through or what might be coming up in your life, or maybe what you've just recently come through, but we hope that this show brings you just one step closer to the Creator of the universe. And we believe that what we're doing here is calling you to a closer walk with God. And we pray a blessing over your life as well. The Bible teaches clearly in the book of 1 Peter that all Christians ought to be able to give an answer when a man asks a question, that we be able to answer those questions for reason of the hope that is within us. And Sam and I have this great hope inside of our hearts that we love the appearing or the coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that great God, Jesus Christ. And we want to be able to answer anyone's questions about the Word of God and about who Jesus is. And we've received a question from somebody. But before we go into that question, Sam, would you mind just giving us a little recap of where we've been concerning our series in regards to the Bible, where we're going today, and kind of over the next few episodes, what we're going to be doing?
We wrapped up last week our series called Haven't You Heard? Revelation from an Eternal God. And we went through in that series how we got our Bible, what's in our Bible, what does it consist of. And we concluded with a section on the marvelous construction of the Word of God, internal proof in your Bible that proves that this could not have had a human origin, that this must be a divine book. Some really awesome things that we kind of just scratched the surface of last week. This week, though, as we get into these questions, we've got this specific question from Ezra. He asks this. He says, how can I discern the difference between the voice of God and of our own self?
Yeah, that's good. That's a really good question, Ezra. And I want to thank Ezra for reaching out to the show and having the courage and boldness to ask a question like that. And Sam, there's a lot of thoughts that go into kind of the background and foundation to that question. And Ezra rightly understands, as do all of us kind of by nature, that there is some spiritual thing at play. And I want to give pushback to the naturalists and the people that are materialists, and they want to get us to believe as a general population of the earth that there is nothing spiritual happening, that there is no supernatural. The Bible says that only a fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. And so, Sam, why don't we, before we even dive into the question, what is some of the background and foundation that we need to understand before we answer Ezra's question? Why don't you read Ezra's question one more time and then give a little foundation to what he's noticing, what he's tapping into, this experience that we all kind of have that God is kind of talking to us. So read the question and then talk a little bit about the premise of the question.
So again, his question, his exact question is, how can we discern between God's voice and our own selves? And this is something that it's important to understand about our condition here. And again, okay, as you mentioned, the naturalist, people who imagine that this world is just material.
Right.
And so they deny the existence of the spiritual realm. And so for them, there is no voice of God.
Right.
There is no voice of Satan. There is only our own selves, our own experience. And it's all just a function of nerve endings and synapses going on inside of our physical bodies. And these thoughts that are being generated, they have no real existence. They have no spiritual origin. And so, of course, we reject this
idea. We wholly reject it. That viewpoint not only crushes the idea of God for no reason at all, maybe to kind of protect their own viewpoint of the world, but not only does it crush the idea of God, it crushes any love, it crushes any hope, it crushes any joy. All of these intangible things that the creator of the universe has gifted us, the naturalist or the materialist crushes those with his ideology, and therefore also crushes the human spirit altogether. So I think you're right on track that we wholly reject the idea that there is not a God and that there is not a God who speaks to us.
The other thing that we need to understand here is the state of a human being.
Okay.
So we all have a mind.
Right.
All of us have a brain. We have a mind. That's what the Bible calls the soul.
Okay.
The soul is the seat of the mind. So the soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. And I like to compare that to a computer.
Okay.
So I have a computer on my desk, and it's got some software. So the body is the physical computer. The soul is the operating system, the Windows operating system or the Apple Macintosh operating system that's on that thing. However, there's a third part of the human existence. We have body, we have soul, and we have spirit.
That's good.
Spirit, I like to compare that, if you're, thinking about a computer, that's the internet connection. So you could have a computer on your desk, and it runs, and it's got the operating system on it, but it's really not going to be of that much use to you if you don't have an internet connection. Okay. And so that internet connection is the connection to the spiritual realm. And we have to understand that nothing comes in, especially these days. The computers don't have floppy disks. They don't have CD-ROMs on them anymore.
Hey, guys, just so we know, we our show is characterized as old lion, young lion. So just so when we hear phrases like floppy disk, that is an old lion term. And we just need to clarify that is a small disk that used to be able to be inserted into what you kids see today as a laptop or personal computer. Sorry for the breakdown. Old Lion, please continue with your parable here. I appreciate the way that you're going. Go ahead.
Okay. The software that comes into that only comes through this internet connection. There's nothing really in Ezra's question. He says, how can we discern the voice of God versus coming from our own selves? There's really nothing that ultimately originated from our own selves.
Okay.
Every thought, every original thought came from one of the spiritual kingdoms.
Okay.
The kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. So both of these kingdoms are trying to speak into human beings' minds. They're trying to deposit information into our minds. Satan, of course, in his kingdom, he's trying to put negative messaging into a human mind and get them believing what is false so that they can oppose the will of God and eventually bear fruit for death and eventually die and be separated from God. God, on the other hand, he's trying to sow or place thoughts in our minds that will give us faith, give us hope, give us love, bearing fruit in good works so that we can spend eternity with a loving and awesome God.
Well, this is very important to set the premise of the question because we need to know what battle we're actually in order for us to answer this question of discerning what God is saying to us. If you don't recognize that anything supernatural is at play in your life, then you're not even going to seek out the voice that might be calling to you in your spirit. You might just reject the idea of the supernatural or the spiritual altogether and be missing out, and Satan would have nothing that more excites him than for people to turn off the switch to the supernatural and just live their lives chasing after the things that are vain, chasing after the things that don't have eternal value. So Ezra asks a great question, and the foundation of it is that at play in the human heart and the human mind and the human soul is this messaging that comes from God or from Satan. And now we need to be able to discern which things are good and which things are bad, which things are from God and which things are from the kingdom of darkness. So now we also need to get to the second part of Ezra's question. How is it that God speaks, or how do we know that God speaks? Maybe there are some evidences inside of Scripture as well as outside of Scripture, Sam, that share with us that God speaks. Can you give us maybe a picture of an inside the Scripture way that God speaks and maybe a way that God speaks to us outside of Scripture? Can you give us a couple of ideas there?
The Bible says this, Psalm 115, verse 4, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see."
Wow.
"They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat." In your Bible, God makes a real strong and hard distinction between who he is and who these idols are. And throughout history, humankind has made these little figurines, these little idols, and they bowed down the work of their own hands, and they bowed down to them to worship them. Because in the human psyche, in the human spirit, they have this need, this craving to worship something. And so they've worshiped the works of their hands. However, God says, look, I'm not like that. These things have mouths, but they don't speak. They have ears, but they don't hear. I'm different. God made us in his image, and we have mouths and eyes and ears, and we speak. God himself is always speaking. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus said this. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." Anybody who is one of Jesus' sheep, one of his disciples, a follower of the Lord Jesus, Jesus makes this bold statement. He says, that person is going to hear my voice. And so, Anthony, you've got a little paradigm over there that kind of explains the different ways in which God speaks to humankind.
It's important. It's really important for us to recognize that God is not this dumb idol, this dumb and deaf idols. And we kind of make these miniature idols. All of humans do. And there's an old quote that says, "In the beginning, God created man in his own image, but man has been trying to repay him that favor ever since by creating a God in their image that they like, that's like them." And I think that we need to be very careful of the spiritualist community as well that just wants to get in touch with their spiritual side and they create gods that just look exactly like them. The Bible says not only is God speaking like a shepherd to his sheep, not only is God speaking in the exact opposite way that a dumb idol cannot speak, but then the Bible declares that the invisible things from creation are clearly seen, that they are understood by the things that have been made by God, even the eternal power and Godhead. Everyone on earth is without excuse because they've seen the handiwork of what God has done. But then Paul, who writes the book of Romans, which I'm quoting, he says, "But because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and they were not thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They professed themselves to be wise, and they became fools. And why are we building such a great foundation about this? Because we are interested in people hearing from God. And Ezra's question assumes that we can hear from God, rightly assumes that. So now, once we kind of break down the foundation that God is speaking, now we can actually get into the question that Ezra is bringing up. Now, I have an idea that I want to kind of put out there for everyone to consider about how God is generally speaking. So here's a four-part way throughout kind of the history of man that God speaks. Number one is the word. He speaks directly through the Bible. Nothing that he says will contradict the word of God. Nothing that you ever feel that God might be saying to you will ever reject the word of God. In the book of Isaiah, it'll say, according to the law and the testimony of God, if anyone speaks not according to the word, it is because there is no light in that person. So everything that you hear in an inner voice or anything being published in the world, if it doesn't directly align with, correlate to, or agree with the word of God, it's not from God. God primarily speaks to the word of God. Secondly, God speaks through wisdom. Wisdom is a collection of the principles that the Bible teaches, as well as in the book of Proverbs, the Bible also teaches us that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So if you have wiser, older people in your life that you can kind of speak to, God can utilize the wisdom of those men or a collection of wise men throughout history. God can use that wisdom to speak to you. So number one, he speaks through the word. Number two, he speaks through wisdom. The next kind of W he speaks through is a whisper. We see this kind of not only in our own experience, that conscience of our heart, but also we see this throughout the Bible. We see the prophet Samuel, hear him respond to God as he's going to bed at night and saying, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth you." God is whispering to him. We hear also the Bible kind of describe what we all kind of know as a still, small voice. We've had that pull in our hearts or in our minds that God is kind of directing us in a path or a way to go. And the Bible teaches us in John chapter number 16, that Jesus Christ sends his spirit into the world so that it might convince and convict the world of sin and righteousness. So everybody is constantly hearing this whisper from the Holy Spirit to be pulled over to God. And then God finally, throughout all of Scripture, and maybe in your very life, speaks by this W, wonders. What God kind of shows the people of God throughout history is that he signifies that he's speaking through this great thing that happens, whether someone is healed, whether you've been spoken to in a dream, whether or not there was these major plagues that came in, or even a flood of the entire earth, God is speaking through wonders and miracles and signs. Now, I place them in a particular order. I believe that the Bible primarily teaches us that we ought to hear God through his word, then we ought to hear him through the wisdom of God, then we ought to hear him through the Holy Spirit, the whisper of God, and then we ought to hear him finally through the wonders and miraculous signs of God. And if you keep those things in order, you now can kind of follow, is this how God is speaking to me? So now, once we kind of get an idea of the operation of how God speaks, now what we must do, according to Ezra's question, is not only set the premise and the foundation that God speaks, not only show there are ways that God speaks in forms in which he uses to get his voice across, but now we must distinguish in Ezra's question which of these things that he feels is being spoken to him is from God, which of them is his own thoughts, and which of them might be coming from the kingdom of darkness. So let's distinguish between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light here, old line.
We have a 7x24x365 stream of consciousness, every single one of us.
Okay.
Even when you're asleep, your brain is still going. And so we all have this stream of consciousness. The thing is, whether the input is coming from the kingdom of light, from God, or whether it's coming from the kingdom of darkness, from Satan.
So what are some tools that we can use to distinguish those two?
The problem is they all come in our own voice.
Okay.
You can't say, oh, this has this deep voice, so this must be coming from God. Okay. This has this crackly voice, so it's coming from Satan. No, the idea is it's all coming in your voice.
All right.
And so we have to discern based on the content of what's being presented
to us.
That's
good. That's one great distinguisher.
So it's the content. So The Bible says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 5, it says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Okay.
God is the God of all encouragement. Mm. When you talk about the content of the voice that you're hearing and the thoughts that are coming into your mind, if they are encouraging, it's coming from God. If it's a discouraging thought, if it's a thought that's coming in and telling you, you're no good, there's no hope for you, you should just quit. These are discouraging thoughts. This is not our God. Our God is the God of all encouragement. It's like that great coach, that great track coach that you had in high school who's saying, you can do it, you can do it. This is the tone and the tenor of the voice of God. He's encouraging you to love and to good works. And so that discouragement, you know right away, that's the voice of Satan.
So you're speaking discouragement to the spirit, right? Elder Sam, obviously, we all can understand that God would, we can use the language to discourage things that are wrong or to discourage you going into a sinful path. You don't mean like he never speaks discouraging those paths.
No.
Just mean he's not condemning, killing, destroying human. Talk a little bit about that.
Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says that there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Condemnation, I like to define it like this: no way outness. So okay. This is what Satan is after. He's looking to condemn humanity to futility. He's looking to condemn humanity to an existence apart from God forever. And there's this idea that there's no way out, there's no hope. And so this is what leads people ultimately, people who take their own lives in the tragedy of suicide.
That's a good point.
And this is what Satan's ultimate goal is. That's his biggest win. If he can get somebody to actually end their own life, he has succeeded in his objective. He's going to try to tear you down, discourage you, tell you that nobody loves you, that God doesn't care about you, that you have no hope, and your life is just going to be terrible forever.
Now, God might point out errors, but he always provides solutions. Satan in the kingdom of darkness only points out errors and then only provides additional errors. So we see God kind of bringing a balm and a medication as the encouragement to the things he might reveal that could be wrong. But what this kingdom of darkness does is only beat down, only discourage, only kill the spirit. And this is how you can kind of distinguish between those two voices.
That's right. And God in his encouragement, he's going to be very specific. It's not that God doesn't point out things that you've done wrong.
Sure.
He will. He will come, but he'll be very specific. He won't say, you're just a horrible person.
Right.
He'll say...
He never does that.
Right. He says, I'm not pleased with that specific thing that you did right
there. That's
good. And then he's going to tell you, here's what I want you to do to fix it.
That's good.
He's very specific. And this is the way the Holy Spirit speaks. Now, I like to use an analogy. We all have a mailbox in front of our houses.
Okay.
And you get mail in there all the time. Sometimes you get a nice birthday card from your grandmother with a $20 bill in it or whatever. Or sometimes you get junk mail from a company that's trying to swindle you out of some money.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I've seen this.
So it all comes in an envelope. It all comes in the same place. And so you have to go out there and we have to be discerning. If I get a letter that says to Sam Hazelton or current resident.
Okay.
Like, that's a clue to me that this is junk mail.
Junk mail.
This is somebody who doesn't know me. Or if I have something, a letter that comes in the mail that says, urgent, you must open right now. That's junk mail. Or if it says, hey, enclosed is a check for $100,000. Act quickly. These are some of the techniques I've become wise to, the way that the... And I'm going to equate this junk mail to the voice of the enemy.
So you can kind of see some correlation that there's like red flags towards junk mail, and then there's some red flags that are the voice of the enemy.
Right. If I see something in my grandmother's handwriting that's specifically addressed to me and has a little heart on it that says happy birthday, that's an indicator that this is the voice from someone who loves me. And we need to apply this same principle. When we have thoughts that come into our heads, we need to say, okay, is this a thought that came from God? Is this a thought that was dropped into my suggestion box by Satan? And the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, We take every thought captive to obey Christ. And so we need to be disciplined. Talk about being a Christian disciple. The word disciple is the same as the word disciplined. A disciple is disciplined. So the way a Christian, one of the ways that the Christian is disciplined is they take every single thought that comes into their head, every new thought, and they take it captive to the obedience of Christ. They bring that thought before they allow it into their hearts. They bring it into a separate room and they interrogate it. They put it under the lights and they interrogate that thought, say, hey, is this a thought that's encouraging me? Is this a thought that's building me up? Is this a thought that's pushing me in the direction of love and self-sacrifice? Or is this a thought that's looking to get me to have no hope? Is this a thought that's getting me discouraged? Is this a thought that's getting me to think poorly of other people? Is this a thought that's looking to get me to think only about myself?
I think that's really good. And I think these are really good indicators of how to open up that correct mail and how to throw away that junk mail. And I think more than just what Ezra is asking, this is what a lot of people are struggling with. They find maybe the word of God or the truth of God's word confusing. And you've kind of given some ways to indicate how one might start reading the right mail. And let me just share with this as we kind of wrap up this question, that there is historically known that there's a love letter or that's mail that's waiting for you. If you're out there listening to this show and you haven't heard what the Bible describes as the good news, this letter that has all the indicators of good, it has all the signifiers that it's from God, that it's for God, that it's about God, that we want you to open up this letter of good news and read it. And this is what the good news is. And I want everyone that's listening that feels like they might be distant or far from God, God loved the world so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, down to earth to walk the perfect life, uphold all righteousness, and then lay his life down on a cross. 3 days later, after he was nailed to this cross and buried, this very Son of God, Jesus Christ, rose from the grave and conquered death and conquered darkness and conquered sin, and now gives life to all those who place their faith in Jesus. This is the greatest news, the greatest voice, the greatest message, the greatest letter that God could ever send to mankind, that he gave his own son so that you can be saved and pulled from a life of darkness into a life of light, his glorious light. I've watched us kind of walk through this question about discerning the voice of God, the content that comes from this voice, the things that this voice encourages, how it came to you. All of these are very important, but if you don't come and find out who this God is that wrote you this letter, you're going to continue to be in this cloud of confusion, trying to discern the very spirits and voices that are throughout the world. Sam, give us one kind of closing thought or closing word about this kind of message as a whole. Great question, Ezra. We're looking forward to more questions that people have, but give us kind of a closing thought about this. And then let's just really encourage people that they ought to discern the voices that are happening to them in the world.
We talked about the discouragement and the hopelessness that comes from the voice of the enemy. There's another aspect to it that I want to point out as well, which is the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We need to understand that if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling fearful, if you're feeling depressed, the thoughts that are creating those feelings in you are not from God. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You need to understand that you're in control of the thoughts that you meditate on. It's one thing to get them put in the mailbox. You didn't put them in the mailbox. They just showed up there. But at that point, from the time you pick them up and take them out of your mailbox, now you're the one who's in control. You're the one who's going to decide, hey, am I throwing those in the garbage? Or am I going to open those up and treasure them and keep them forever? So if you take a lie and you treasure it and keep it forever, it's going to produce bad fruit in your life.
Wow.
If you take the truth and you treasure it up and keep it forever, it's going to produce good fruit in your life. And so it's very important that you deal with these thoughts as they come in. Take them, each one, captive to Christ.
I love that. And we know that Jesus says the truth and the truth alone shall set you free. Now, we're not a show that particularly talks about what's going on in politics or what's going on in the sports world or maybe what's happening inside of fashion, though we may touch on a few of these subjects. What our whole goal is that we dig into what the scripture says and then proclaim it boldly. And Ezra asked a great question today, and I hope you stick along with us for the rest of these questions that we're going to answer over the next few weeks. We believe that we are going to continue to be lions working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stick with us on this journey, and we hope you have a blessed day.
And we'll see you at church.